So here we are. We've just talked about prayer in Bible studies, but I suppose no Bible study should not be, Bible study lessons should not be talked about unless we talk about food.
Now, it's weird. Food has something to do with Bible study?
Yeah, well, the early church, Acts 2:46 and 47, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
So that this is very, I think this is very insightful. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. In other words, they had a church service.
Yeah.
In the temple courts, that was a big group.
Right.
So they had big groups.
Big group meetings.
Like
church meetings.
Well, then they broke bread in their homes.
Yeah.
So now they have these home Bible studies.
Yeah.
And that's where the breaking of the bread took place.
Right.
And it was both a meal, but it also was a communion service. So it was a meal with purpose.
Wow.
All right, so this has some history to it. The history is in the Passover.
Right, Exodus 12, verse 3 and 4. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for the whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor.
Okay, so it's, you know, here God is, you know, trying to teach his people. Or the people were slaves in Egypt.
Right.
And they didn't know who God was. Who was God? And here's this incredible salvation moment. He's going to save them from the slavery of Egypt, bring them into the promised land.
Right.
And he does it with this event,
right.
This
wow.
sort of sacrament. And it's food.
It's
related to food. Jesus is going to, you know, sort of bring the Passover forward into communion, meeting with his
right.
disciples. And he's doing the Seder service, but
right.
he transforms it into this communion service. And again, it's done with food. The wedding banquet, you know, the end of the world.
Yeah, all
the imagery is this banquet and people
right.
gathering mm-hmm. around food. So much of the ceremonies in life are around food.
So my wife and I did the hospitality and fellowship mini course, and both of us commented on how powerful food is, food at the center, communion at the center of it all.
Now, why do you think that is?
Yeah. Well, it's a basic need we all share.
Right. Yep.
And I think, I mean, I reflect on it, and when we share that basic need together, we feel connected. I think going out to eat with someone, you feel that. There's a passage in the Old Testament how enemies, through the work of Elisha, raiders were actually attacking. And at the end of the day, they had a feast in Samaria with the king. And then it says, and they raided Israel no more. So it changed everything.
Right.
You know, so there is some
yes.
powerful thing
right.
about hospitality and fellowship that transcends all of us.
Right. Luke 15 starts out with the problem of Jesus, the self-righteous teachers of the law had a
right.
problem with Jesus because they said he's with the sinners, and not only is he with them, he's eating with them.
Yeah.
And in that culture, eating with someone is like
intimate.
It's an intimate experience.
Right, right. That's powerful.
And
it's
so
I
think it's representative of the intimacy, but it also leads to intimacy.
Right. That's powerful.
So there's options. And we
yeah.
just put three down here. You could have a dessert only. Sometimes, you know, sometimes if you go too big and you know, food and someone has to prepare
yeah,
and it's
yeah.
all this work, then people don't want to do it because it's too much work.
Hard
so dessert only is fine,
yeah.
depending on the time that you meet.
Coffee.
Other times, like a potluck. Hey, everyone brings
yeah.
something, and so
right.
it's not a burden on
right.
not on everyone. Or you could have it catered.
Right.
You know, just you pay a little money and have it brought in.
You know, I reflect on our church planting, and I would say this to like any church planter. If you can get really amazing at food and having people over, you know, I remember a story in Oregon where, you know, I felt always called every day to talk to someone. And I remember one time I just put my finger in the phone book. This was back in the 1990s. Called that person up and talked. I was a little uncomfortable. And I said, would you and your husband, the wife who answered, want to come over to our house for a cookout? And amazingly, she said yes. And they both became believers. He was an accountant, became the accountant and bookkeeper for the church, mainly because a cold call, which went to warm food in right. 5 minutes, occurred.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
Okay. It all starts.
Right. And then fellowship. Sometimes groups start off with a game, like a sort of, you know, like the kind of games we did when we did young people's church.
Yeah.
And you'd have a fun little game. There's all kinds of different things.
Right.
You can look up little games,
right.
little house warming kind of games.
Right.
And the reason these can sometimes be important is because, especially in the beginning, if you get people that don't know each other well, and then you launch into the Bible study, and they're, you know, all of a sudden it's personal questions, especially for guys.
Right.
Okay. The guy culture is like, you know, it's not ideal for the Bible study setting, you know.
Right.
We're going to meet in a small group and bare our souls to one another. And the guys are like, oh, you know, let's just watch a football game.
Right.
Okay, so that's what a game does. What guys do is like what we're doing right now. We're sitting side by side, and we can have a conversation together. And once in a while, we'll look over here and say something. But we don't have to sit like...
Like this. Yeah, I know.
It's like that's too intimate for most guys. Yeah. And so that's what
games do.
Games do are like there are things on the side.
Right.
But what happens in the middle of the game? You're joking, you're laughing, you're saying things, you're learning about each other. Trust is being
built. You're warming us up.
You're warming us up. Now, another thing that can work, but again, often in the beginning, you know, a new person isn't going to know songs, but it used to be our culture, we would sing at every occasion.
You know,
there were folk songs, there were patriotic songs, there were all kinds of different songs, and we've sort of gotten away from that. Maybe a modern version of this is YouTube videos where people get together and they share. We did that the other night.
Yeah, it was powerful.
We shared songs that meant something to us.
And we said, why?
Yes.
Why does it interest you?
Yes.
What interests you? Why does it interest you? And what does God say to you?
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
But it was really cool.
Yeah.
In other words, we didn't have to be great singers.
Right.
Because we're letting the YouTube video do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But our interest in music could be used. So the point is, the whole point of food and games and fellowship is to create an atmosphere where relationships can take place, where there's a lot of talking and listening.
Right.
There's a thing called Snow on the Mountain. Maybe we'll put it in the link here. And what it is every person coming over is encouraged to bring one item.
Like
you have to bring the walnuts, the crushed walnuts.
Right.
Someone else has to bring some coconut.
Right.
Someone else has to bring, and then there's a whole list of things.
Right.
And they have no idea why they're bringing these things.
Right.
And then the host makes this sort of chicken-based something or other, and then everyone puts their ingredient that they brought. There's diced tomatoes and there's all these different things.
Yeah.
And they put them in bowls in a row, and then you create this snow on the mountain. The rice is the snow.
Yeah.
And you start with the base, and then you go and add all these weird, different things that you've never put together. And people are like, how's this going to work out? And it's amazingly good. Have you ever done that?
No.
No, it's amazingly good. But what's cool about that is everyone is involved. They bring the thing, and when they come over, they're preparing things and getting bowls and chopping up things. And again, in the cracks of doing things, fellowshipping, a lot of communication happens, which now makes it possible to have a better, more meaningful Bible study.
So these are just a few ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, food. Do you like soufine? Do that. Do you like, or do you like to cook? Is there somebody within the group that loves hospitality? I've known over the years some people, there's a few people that just, you know what, my gift is this. I want to cook And then the power of eating together is really what we're saying. And so we're encouraging you to put that into your Bible study plan.